7, when you find that, stand with me, or stand with me, then find Deuteronomy chapter 7, however you want to do that. That's where we're going to be tonight, Deuteronomy 7. Beginning in verse number 12. We'll read all the way to verse 26 at the end of the chapter. Verse 12, the Bible says this, "Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers." We're in Deuteronomy 7, verse 12. 13. "And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee, and will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thy kine, the flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people." Quite a promise, isn't it? "There shall not be male nor female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispose them?" This would be Israel not obeying God because they're afraid. That's why they would say that in verse 17. Verse 18, "Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember that the Lord thy God did, what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt." By the way, when we're in obedience to God, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. The devil wants us to be afraid, but we're obeying God. We're in his will. We can trust him. We can trust him. 19. "The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hid themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt," by the way, the hornet is God's reinforcements. Amen. He's going to send in reinforcements. Verse 21, "Thou shalt not be affrighted by at them. For the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible." I love that. Verse 21 is a sermon all by itself. Let me say it again. "Thou shalt not be affrighted at them." Look at this phrase. "For the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou hast destroyed them." Note verse 25 and 26. "The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be," note this next word, "lest thou be snared therein." for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination unto thine house, lest thou be a cursed, or lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. We're going to be talking about the other end of the stick, and I know right now that doesn't make a lot of sense, but it will. And by the way, this is the stick right here. So that's the stick we're going to talk about, the other end of that stick. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great opportunity we have to open your word and to not only learn a great lesson, but to be touched by you, to be encouraged and strengthened and challenged. And like we said, like we discovered once again in John chapter 16 this morning, to be reproved by you, to be rebuked by you in our soul, the work of the Spirit in us. And it could be tonight that you'd like to do that in someone. So we pray that you would. And for those that need their hearts to be opened, I pray that you'd help us to decide to do that tonight, to open our hearts, to be willing to receive with humility what you have for us. And then, God, give us courage to respond in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, in describing or explaining the other end of the stick, it probably would help if you knew what I was talking about before we, you know, get going here. The other end of the stick is actually a reference to consequences. And so when you pick up a stick from the ground, which if you're a man here, when you were a boy, you do that a lot, you know, swinging it at the grass or throwing it or... I mean, there's so many things you could do with a stick, right? Sword fights, just chasing people and hitting them with it, you know, whatever. But one thing that I want to show you tonight, I think it's one thing we often don't think about as it relates to consequences to our choices, and that is when you make a choice, you're picking up one end of the stick, but what I think we often don't realize is when we make a choice or there's an action that we decide to take, there is a consequence associated to the action, and that's the other end of the stick. All right. So when you pick up one end of the stick with your decision or with your action, you might not be thinking about it, you might not want it, you might want the action but not the consequence, but when you pick up the stick at one end, you're also picking up the other end. Amen. That's the other end of the stick. You get one side, you also get the other side. They go together. And that's important for us to note because if you are going to stand, like our picture on the graphic this morning, if you're going to stand on a train track, then there's a good chance, and if you stand there long enough, you're going to get hit by a train. That's the other end of the stick. You know, but it's also true that you'll get the other end of the stick with wise decisions too, right? So if you decide that you're going to get up every day and you're going to read your Bible, and that's a decision that you make, by the way, wise choice. We need that. We need a personal walk with God. And so you make that decision. And as you have made that decision, you get the other end of that stick too. And you know what that is? It's the mind of Christ. You learn His Word. You humble yourself to Him. And you read the scriptures and you pray and God starts touching and working in your heart, He will give you His mind. He'll give you His heart. He'll give you His Spirit. That's the other end of that stick. And so as you look at this stick tonight, we'll be referencing it quite a bit. Just remember the choices that we make, there are consequences associated to every choice that we make. If you make a rebellious choice, then you're going to get a consequence of that rebellious choice. If you make an obedient choice where you're in obedience doing what God wants you to do, then you will receive the consequence of that obedience. And God wants us to understand that to be true. Why? Because God wants to bless us. He wants us to receive the blessings. And as you were noting, I'm sure as we were just cursory reading this passage, maybe highlighting a few things, but especially early on in the passage, we see God telling His people, I will bless you. I will bless you. And what it tells us is God wants to bless us. God wants to bless you. But you need to understand something. If you're going to be blessed of God, that's the other end of the stick. You can't do what you want to do and then get the blessings. You have to do what God wants you to do if you're going to get the other end of that stick. So you can't follow your own agenda and then find God's blessings at the other end. It just doesn't work that way. We think it does at times, but it doesn't. Israel would need to learn this great lesson. And by the way, God in His grace gives this lesson to His people, this concept to His people over and over again. And just think about how many times you've read in the scripture about Israel and they rebelled against God. It's really countless. I mean, it seems like every time we turn a couple of pages, Israel is in rebellion, and then judgment comes, and then there's repentance, and then there's blessings, and then there's rebellion, and it's this constant cycle. But you know, we find ourselves commonly in that cycle too. We are in rebellion, and then there's consequences, and then there's repentance, and then we are blessed, and then we go back into rebellion again. That sounds like our life. Well, that's Israel. Israel commonly did that. Remember back when God established His covenant with His people, where God said, "You'll be my people, and I'll be your God." And then Moses went up into the mount. He wasn't there very long. And Israel began worshiping other gods. As a matter of fact, it was golden calves. And it didn't take very long for them to get there. And they're not going to find God's blessings when they pick up that end of the stick. And they reject and rebel and turn away from God. And God wanted them to be blessed, so He would warn them. He would plainly tell them, He would warn them, and He would guide them. Now, let's follow this, and let me show you that this is what God ultimately is trying to communicate to His people in this passage. Look at verse 12. By the way, before we read verse 12, I should have said this just a minute ago, but Deuteronomy, we haven't been studying in Deuteronomy, but the book of Deuteronomy was to the children of Israel who had been in the wilderness journeys for more than 40 years. And we have an entirely new generation of Israel who are primed, prepared, and ready to enter into the promised land. They had already received the covenant, the first law of God in Exodus and Leviticus, and would have been operating according to that standard. But now the book of Deuteronomy, which means second law, was written again as a kind of revival, a kind of reminder for God's people before they go into the promised land. So just before Israel went into the promised land, they're being reminded of how they're going to receive the blessings of God. That's the whole book of Deuteronomy in a nutshell. And part of that is what we're seeing here. They're going to go into the promised land, and these are the things that are going to happen. And God is guiding His people how to do this so they can remain under the umbrella of God's blessings. They'd have to listen. And they'd have to make some hard choices. And they'd have to decide, you know what? I need to obey God. Even though this end of the stick and the action that I want to take is comfortable for me, it's what I want to do. But if I decide to do it my way, then I'm not going to receive the blessings. Israel would need to understand that. And so God plainly teaches them in verse 12. Take a look with me. It says this, "Wherefore it shall come to pass," note these next words, "if ye hearken to these judgments." If ye hearken. He also said, "and keep and do them." So God says to His people, you need to listen to my message. But it's not enough that you showed up and that you're listening. You need to make a decision to obey. You need to do what I'm calling you to do. The children of Israel would have been given a condition. That's what the word "if" means. If you hearken. It's a conditional clause or statement. So, in a sense, God is telling them, if you do this, then what I'm going to say next is what will come on you. By implication, if you decide not to do it, then you shouldn't expect what I'm telling you I'll give you. You shouldn't expect that in your life. So it's a condition. He teaches His people, you need to hearken, you need to listen, you need to do what I'm speaking to you to do. Well, we need that. We need that tonight. Western Hills Baptist Church, Sunday night. I mean, this is the cream of the crop. That's what I hear anyway. Sunday night, you know, cream of the crop. Like, did you know that? You're the cream of the crop. Here we are. Well, here's what that means. It means you often know what you've been hearing from God. You come Sunday morning, you come Sunday school, you come Sunday night. Many of you, most of us tonight, you come Wednesday night. Most of us, I would say, if we had hands raised, Most of us probably read our Bible every day. What's that mean, Pastor? It means you're hearing from God. But that's not what he's saying here. He's assuming that. He's saying hearken. He's saying take heed. He plainly said it with this word, do. Amen. Don't just know what to do, do it. So there's action involved. By the way, that's the fundamental principle relating to faith. Faith is action. Faith isn't an emotion. Faith is obedience. You're moving in faith when you know what God wants you to do and you're doing it. That's faith. And so God speaks to us, and tonight he's speaking to us. And he has been speaking to us. Just recently, this wasn't in my notes, but one of our young people came to me, and we had a meeting in the office. And I'm kind of nervous sometimes when somebody sets up a meeting with the pastor, you know, what are we going to talk about? Just like you get nervous when I set up a meeting with you, you know, it's the reverse. Hey, Brother Larry, we got to meet this week. And then I say it in that voice. We got to meet, you know, you're nervous, right? Well, there's a meeting being set up, and we come into the office, and he says, Pastor, I mean, we're talking about a young guy. I've been putting off telling you this for so long. I'm like, man, what? It's killing me. Tell me, what is it? You know, just come on, what is it? He said, Pastor, God's called me to be a pastor. I said, whew, man. I mean, once I got past that it wasn't something bad, then I was really excited for him. I said, amen. Now, let's just consider that. We'll talk more about who that was and more about it later. I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. That wasn't in my notes. So, but think about this. If God's calling somebody to be a pastor or in the ministry or a missionary, or let's say God is speaking to your heart tonight about something, and tonight's the night. You come to the altar and you decide what we just said here. Hearken, take heed, do. Probably he's been talking to you about it for a long time before you decided to obey him. That's what I'm saying tonight. He's probably been speaking to you for a while. But what you're trying to reconcile in your mind often is the way we do this. He's speaking to us. He's guiding us. And we're nervous to take steps of obedience sometimes because we're not thinking this way. We're not thinking about action and obedience and the relationship between our obedience to God and what's on the other end of that stick. In fact, we don't often think about what's on the other end of any stick as it relates to decisions we make. We just do what feels good in that moment. But we need to think about it. So God said, hearken. And by the way, he said, if ye hearken, that means God's not going to make you do it. Verse 12 is where we are. He's not going to make you obey him. Amen. You have to make a decision. I think tonight we said this in our prayer. We're talking about the lost who need to be saved. We can't make them get saved. And God won't force himself on them. He'll speak to them. He'll compel them. He'll say, come unto me. I'll give you rest. But he won't make somebody walk to him or come to him. And he's not going to make you come to him. But let me encourage you about something. He'll speak to you. He'll make it clear. And then he'll open the window for you. He'll open the door, rather, for you so that you can come walking through in obedience. And we prayed about it tonight that God, and here's the key word for us, would give us faith and courage. Courage. God, give me courage to trust. To trust what? Trust what I don't see right now. What do we don't see? The other end of the stick. God's leading us to an action. But what we're not seeing and what's causing us to struggle so much with obedience to God is we're nervous about the consequence of that. Is it going to truly be as blessed as God says? Well, let's look what God said. Look at verse number, let's just read 13 and we'll skip to verse 16. He says this, he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. I love that. I think it sums up right there. He'll love thee, he'll bless thee, and he'll multiply thee. Verse 14, or rather 16, skip down to verse 16. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them. So now we have a transition from God saying or giving command in obedience to his commands. God's giving a a condition that Israel, if they follow him in obedience, then blessings will be there. But then God goes on and he talks about how Israel is also to do some consuming. So it's not just we're moving in obedience, maybe making a decision, adding something to our life, or doing an action as it relates to how God is leading us to make changes in our life. Israel here has been commanded by God to destroy the other nations. And he also said it this way, without pity. Now that might to us seem like, a really harsh thing. Why would God command Israel to do this? And there's two reasons, and I want you to see it. Look at verse 10 first. And repayest them, speaking of those of the nation, that hate him to their face. To destroy them, he will not be slack unto him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. So God has commanded Israel to destroy these pagan nations around them. But why did God do that? Because they hated God. Well, what does that mean, though? It means this. It means the nations around them had a chance to turn to the Lord. So not only did they reject God, it says they hated him. And so they're literally enemies of God. So that's the one reason God says to the nation of his people to destroy them. The second thing is actually in verse 16. Take a look at that with me. There at the last of the verse, he says, no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for they will be a, say that next word, snare unto thee. So if you don't destroy them, they'll be a snare to you. You will serve their gods. Well, that, for you and I, friends, is a commandment of God, not only for us to take step of obedience and surrender to him, but also to delete the world's influence in our life. And he does lead us to do things like that, doesn't he? To delete the world's, to destroy, to, without pity, annihilate the world's influence in our life. Why? Because it will influence you. It will become a snare in your life. It will become a snare in our life. And so there's a command from God for Israel to not only move in obedience and action so that they might receive those blessings, and God teaches them the consequence of the consequence of their action and obedience and surrender to his commands and following him. The other end of that stick is his blessings, but he also teaches them to destroy the adversaries, and the other end of that stick he makes it clear as well. And so there's the leading of God to follow his commands and to destroy the nations around them. It summarizes in verse 25. Take a look at it with me. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Now, that's pretty plain, isn't it? God's putting it on the bottom shelf. He says, you need to burn the influence of this out of your life. In fact, don't even take snippets of it. Destroy it. That's what he's saying. Look what he says next. Thou shalt not desire the silver and the gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared. And he said the word again, snared, which means trapped, ensnared in this, for it's an abomination unto thy God. And so God is pointing out to his people, if you don't destroy the false gods, if you don't burn them with fire, then be warned. The other end of that stick is becoming snared. It will take your heart. It will infiltrate your thinking. It will influence you and pull you away. And so God warns his people. And God's people would need to know with confidence that if they, no matter which side they chose, if they chose one side of the stick, they're getting the other side too. And I think we can see both sides of it tonight. I remember this was a few years ago. We used to play football in Falls City. There, we lived right across the street from the high school, and they left the gate to the high school football field open all the time. In fact, I'd never even seen it closed. Small community, and people would go to the track, and they would walk, and I would jog on the track. And I remember, and we would go over there, and we'd play football all the time. We'd kick field goals, and it's a lot of fun. So one time, I'm jogging around the track, and there's a group of boys, my boys included, are playing football out there. And I'm running around, so I'm kind of paying attention to what they're doing, but I'm not really paying attention to what they're doing. They're just playing football. And I remember one of the boys was crying, and I had kind of came around the track just as he was walking this way, and I met him, and he was crying, and I said, "What's wrong?" And he said that he was a wide receiver, and he got hit with the football. And I asked him to just describe to me a little bit more about this. And along the way, they had decided that it was a good idea to play football and the wide receivers would be blindfolded. Like, try to process that for a second. My job is as the quarterback to throw you the ball, and you're going to catch it, but you have a blindfold on. So that was the plan. And so his brother threw him the football, and it hit him somewhere, and it hurt. And he was mad at his brother about it. And I said, "Hang on a second. Like, so you decided that it was a good idea to play a game of football, and you're a wide receiver, and you're going to have a blindfold on." I'm scratching my head. Okay? So just know this. If you are a wide receiver, they're throwing the ball at you. It's not going to hit you in the hands. It's going to hit you somewhere else. And you don't see it. And that's probably going to hurt. Okay? So when you make a decision that you're going to play football blindfolded, you should probably think it out. And go ahead and look at the other end of the stick. And that is, I'm going to get hit in the face with the football, because I can't see it. That's the other end of the stick. Okay? Now, it seems basic, but I needed to explain that to them. They didn't understand that, I don't think. You know how funny that is? It's also funny in our lives how God leads us. He guides us, and we choose not to obey God, not to surrender to Him and do what He's calling us and He's been speaking to us to do, guiding us in His path, and we know what He wants us to do, but we're not listening to Him and we're not surrendering to Him. Yet we expect that we can pick up the end of the stick that we've been picking up in disobedience to God, and then at some point we're going to find God's blessings. But it doesn't work that way. If you choose to deny the leadership of God and ignore God and not do what He is calling and speaking to you to do, you can choose to do that. But don't expect blessings on the other end of it. In fact, expect quite the opposite, because that's what you'll get. If you pick up disobedience, then you're going to get the other end of that stick. And you cannot avoid that. It's called, you reap what you sow. You'll get both ends. It's also true when God leads us to delete things from our life. When God is calling us to delete things off of our phone. When God is calling us to get some of the phone numbers that we have, teenagers, in our phone list, our contacts list, and you know that that's not a good contact and you need to delete it, and God's been trying to get a hold of you about this, but because it's kind of like becoming a god in your life, and God is warning you, if you don't get this influence out of your life, then the other end of that stick, you're not going to like it. And He warns us and He guides us. He tells us it'll be a snare. And for some of us tonight, there's something on our phone that has become a snare to us. Why? Because we won't delete it. We won't burn it, like God said. Then you can expect the other end of the stick. Don't ignore God. Don't keep things that God has told you to burn and then not expect the other end of the stick. Don't remain holding on to that end and then expect the other end to be God's blessings. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't, and it won't ever. So there was a man when I was in high school. He was a teenager as well, so I won't call him a man yet. He was a young man, and he was a bit arrogant and cocky. And a group of us in the teen class, as well as some others who weren't in the teen class, but we collaborated, we decided to distract him on a Sunday night inside the building. We had somebody on task to distract him. He has a little car out in the parking lot. We went to his car, and there was a bunch of us guys. We literally picked up his car. All of us guys were around his little car. We picked it up, and we carried his car behind the church. We just carried the whole car behind the church, and then we waited. It was literally like some of the most exciting moments of my life. When this guy came outside and he was like, "Where's my car?" He thought somebody stole his car. And that all by itself is funny because there ain't nobody stealing that car, you know? And finally he found out what was happening. He was so mad at us for carrying his car, but to this day I just feel this happy feeling inside, you know? Because of how ornery he was, because of his attitude, because of his spirit. And I get it. God, revenge is the Lord, but, you know, and I'm not advocating that maybe that was the right move, but I'm simply saying this. If you live in a certain way, then you can expect along the way, you're going to find that there are consequences in your life related to the way you're living. Amen. So if you have that kind of spirit, then along the way, you're going to get the other end of that stick. And your car's going to be behind the church, and you're not going to know how it got there because somebody, a group of guys, carried it. So tonight, let's take counsel from the Lord. He just wants to help us. Amen. We serve a God who loves us so much, He wants to help us avoid the destruction that our sins will bring us to. And He wants us to be on a path of blessing. But to do that, you have to make decisions, not just based on what you think. Watch. Not just based on what you think this is going to do for you, but based upon what you know God is commanding you to do and the blessings that will be associated with God, what God is commanding you to do. We need to see not just the decision, but we also need to see the other end of the stick. So tonight it might be where God has been poking you. He's been speaking to you for a long time. And you've been struggling to surrender. You've been struggling to delete some things. Remove some things. Like he said here, burn these things. Maybe some songs on our phone we need to delete. Some videos on there we need to delete, not just contacts. And it could be that he's been speaking to you. And you might wonder, why am I, you know, having so many awful consequences? Well, it could be and likely is that you're getting the other end of the stick. Amen. So it's time for us tonight to trust him, to obey him, to take steps of faith. God, I believe you. I know what you want me to do. And I might not know exactly how this is all going to turn out, but I trust your blessings will be there because I'm going to obey you. And I trust that the blessings will just be there because you said, and he did say. So let me encourage you to take steps of faith tonight. Every head bowed. Father, we thank you that we can study things like this. We can read the scripture, hear a message. And Lord, with it, we know that we're hearing from you. We know that we're being touched by you and you're convicting us. could be you're calling us. And Lord, it also is, as we said, often true where we would struggle to obey you. It might be that somebody tonight would, if they're honest, they would acknowledge that you've been convicting them of their need of salvation. And perhaps tonight is the night that they would decide to turn their heart to you in salvation. And I pray that you'd give them courage to take that step. I pray for others who need to just acknowledge not only that you're working in them in a call or in a surrender in some way of obedience, that they would trust your blessings that are associated to that. And then, Lord, for those that need to, like we heard tonight, delete some things, whether it be from their phone or other influences, perhaps. But you've been speaking to us already. And there are consequences we've already been suffering. And tonight might be the night we decide that when we get home, or even before we get home, we'll eliminate these things. Not because we feel as such, but because we trust you. And so if that's the case tonight, we ask that you would affirm this, bring a confirmation, a conviction to our soul, so that we can move in obedience, knowing we're doing just what you want us to do. And then, Lord, we ask for not only your blessings literally, but also the blessing of peace that would flood our soul as the burden is lifted. We'll give you glory for that too, in Jesus' name. Amen.